From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Academy of Music in Philadelphia, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. You guys are great. Yes. I know how you're feeling. We're also in a really good mood this week. First of all, we finally made it to Philadelphia. Great to be here. Second, later on, we're going to be joined by musical genius Bobby McFerrin right here. That's exciting. And lastly, as loyal employees, we are so proud to tell you that today, NPR is celebrating 11 whole days without a self-inflicted wound.
But Peter,
we have a little sign in the office hallway near the coffee machine.
My whole job here is to figure out what I can say that will get me fired from NPR and get me a $2 million contract from Fox.
Yeah.
I've got it half figured out.
I know. So, help us keep up our safety record. Give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, Peter, how's it going?
Not too bad. Who's this?
This is Adam Melhorn calling you from the Big Island of Hawaii.
Oh, how are things in Hawaii?
Well, pretty good. I live up in Volcano, so it's actually a little bit rainy up here.
Wait a minute. You live in a volcano?
Oh, come on.
Well, I moved here because I wanted to live in a town called Volcano, and the fact that it's in Hawaii doesn't do anything against it either.
Really? So you would have taken a volcano in, say, Iowa,
Ohio,
had
yes.
there been one?
Well, it makes it cool to put on your address. Whenever people send you a letter, they don't know if it'll actually ever get to you.
That's true. Well, Adam, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to this week's panel. First up, a humorist and author of the new book, Don't Vote, It Just Encourages the Bastards, Mr. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hello, P.J.
Hey, Adam.
Next is the woman behind the advice column Ask Amy and the author of the memoir The Mighty Queens of Freeville, Ms. Amy Dickinson.
Hello, Amy.
Hey. Hi, Adam.
Finally, say hello to a humorist and the author of the new audiobook It's Just Like I Told You, 25 years of comments and comic pieces available at a download near you, Mr. Tom Baudette.
Hey, Adam.
Aloha, Tom.
Adam, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl this time? Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will, of course, win our prize, Carl's voice, on your home voicemail. Ready to go?
Okay, let's give it a shot.
Let us do it. Here is your first quote.
Yes, we can, but...
That was somebody talking on The Daily Show this week, reflecting the mood of his whole party right before next week's election. Who is it?
Barack Obama?
Yes, indeed, the president. It's so exciting. 2 years after his election, President Obama finally revealed the rest of his campaign slogan. Yes, we can, but... If we had just looked closer at that hope poster, we would have seen the asterisk. No, really, it's just like when President Roosevelt said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself, and also Hitler." So the Democrats, going into this next week's election, the Democrats have lost the support of women. They've lost the support of independents and the president's dog, Bo, who says he resents the government wanting to put him on a leash. The congressional Democrats, for their part, are reconciling themselves to a big loss. They're trying to look on the bright side. For example, if they lose the House in 2010, there is no way they can lose the House in 2012. In this upcoming term, the entire caucus will finally be able to fit into Nancy Pelosi's van. That'll be great.
I knew it was all over for the Democrats when Michelle Obama started sticking carrots in school lunches.
Really? You think that really was the thing?
There went the youth vote. You know?
Pretty much.
You got one pleasant moment. You got one pleasant 20 minutes in the entire school day. And there are a bunch of carrots staring at you.
This is true. Weather reports say it's going to rain on Election Day, like everywhere. And according to actual political analysts, rain depresses Democratic turnout far more than Republican turnout. This is true.
You know why? It's Birkenstocks.
That's it.
All right, very good. Adam, here is your next quote.
My favorite strain these days has to be Dr. Walker's Daze. It's a pretty epic mood elevator. You're instantly happy, and you stay happy.
That was a California woman named Dragonfly de la Luz. She was talking to NPR this week. She was talking about a measure on California's ballot that would make what legal?
I'm saying that would probably be pot.
Yes, it would be. On Election Day next week, California might legalize marijuana. Chances are looking better now that George Soros has pitched in $1 million to the effort. Full disclosure, Mr. Soros has also donated to NPR to fund our coverage of snack foods and fish concerts. But it'd be weird. I mean, you think about it. I mean, you know, people think about, oh, you know, people are going to abuse it. But it's really more of a cultural question, because if marijuana becomes legal, it will be mainstream, just like alcohol. And it will be weird to have a world in which that is true. There'll be glossy but ambiguous ads for dope on TV. Instead of throwing a football through a tire, the guy will try to throw a tire through a football and collapse into giggles, you know? Marijuana companies will buy sponsorships, sporting events. College football will have, like, the Capital One Bowl, the AT&T Bowl, and the Pass the Bowl Bowl.
You know, I feel like I should, as a Republican and all that, be against this, you know, but it's a drug that makes teenage boys drive slow. How bad is that, really?
All right, your last quote is an unusual rallying cry never heard before in the world of sports.
Fear the beard.
That's a team slogan. It is.
Whoa.
Oh, I'm sorry. It seems like our entire audience had stomach trouble at once. I don't know why. That is a team slogan referring to the distinct facial hair of one particular player who is participating in this year's what?
World Series.
Yes, indeed.
Of baseball.
Exactly. Let me just say to our audience here in Philadelphia that it's a relatively unimportant contest. The World Series got underway this week in San Francisco, and most sports writers have predicted that once again an American team will take home the trophy. This year, there's actually slightly more interest than usual because one of the teams has never been in the World Series. That's the Texas Rangers, a team once owned. All right. I see your loyalty. A team once owned by George W. Bush, who sold them back in 1998. So, America, now we know it takes about 12 years to recover from George Bush. The series started in San Francisco and then is going to go to Dallas, marking the first time 40 San Franciscans ever voluntarily went to Texas. The two communities have made the usual friendly wager. If the Rangers win, Texas gets to secede from the Union. If the Giants win, Texas has to secede from the Union. Carl, how did Adam do?
Adam had 3 correct answers, Peter. A perfect game for him. And so, Adam, you win our prize.
Well done.
All right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. Have fun on the volcano. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Amy, it's no secret that bed bugs are causing a lot of problems in New York right now. Stores are shutting down, hotels are on alert, but now officials are warning that the little bugs are becoming a serious threat to what?
In New York.
Yes.
A serious threat to... They're shutting places down. Is it an institution?
No, it's sort of an activity.
Naturally. I assume that you're talking about procreating?
I'm talking about romance, Amy.
Romance.
I don't know why your mind is in the gutter. Mine is not. Candles, soft music, and flower petals strewn across the bed will not save your date. Once your date notices, wait a minute, those aren't flower petals. They're moving.
Oh!
Exterminators in New York are getting more and more calls from people who say that bed bugs are destroying their love life. One attorney told CNN, quote, "I was dating a guy, and he asked me, 'Do you have any bed bugs in your apartment? Because if you do, you won't be seeing me,' unquote." Apparently, the attorney's date was willing to get into bed with one rapacious bloodsucker, but not hundreds of them.
This bed bug thing is totally changing the way I move in the world. I'll tell you, I travel enough to think about it. And my little guy, every night when I read him a book and he rolls over to go to sleep, and I say good night, and he goes, "Good night, Daddy, I love you." And then he goes, "Don't let the bed bug bite." And it was the cutest little thing until about 6 months ago.
And
then
and now he's saying, "No, I mean it."
No, now I start to like
save
itch
me,
all
Daddy.
Over when I hear that.
My favorite kind of bugs are dead. My favorite kind of bugs are dead, dead, dead. Whether squished beneath my boot or on the windshield splattered red, my favorite kind of bugs are dead.
Right now it's time, of course, for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Mark from Los Angeles, California.
Hey, Mark, how are things in L.A.?
It's a beautiful day in Los Angeles.
I'm sure it is. And what do you do there?
I'm a researcher in the development department at Authentic Entertainment. We're a non-scripted TV production company.
So you do, like, reality TV?
That is correct.
Yeah. Yeah. You thought reality was terrible, and then along came reality TV.
Right. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, Mark. Now, speaking of reality, you're going to play the game in which you must tell reality from fiction. Carl, what is Mark's topic?
I smell Oscar.
If there's one thing we learned from the film The Social Network, it's that you can make a movie out of just about anything. But even we were surprised this week when we saw an announcement for one particular upcoming movie production. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories of movies being made from unlikely sources. Choose that true story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's hear first from Tom Baudet.
Amateur woodworking is the fastest growing hobby in America. And the glossy hand tool Peep Show magazine Fine Woodworking is leading the way. And now Fine Woodworking the movie promises to become the eat, pray, love of middle-aged men. Taunton Productions casting agent Rita Ramirez describes the story. Twice divorced Marvin Kendrick has lived his whole life against the grain. Alone, bored, and estranged from his grown children, he and his prostate were destined to grow into an unhealthy old age. When he meets Robin Patch, the mysterious lady with the wood shop next door. Soon, Marvin finds himself on a dusty journey of self-discovery through a cascade of fine woodworking cover stories. The many faces of shellac. Glue, which one is right for you? And the ultimate quest, mastering the stopped lap dovetail joint. Audiences will weep with Marvin as a tragic chop saw accident takes from him the only thing he ever really loved, a 6-inch Sterrett combination square. And we'll cheer when Robin and Marvin pound the last final joint into a perfect fit, rated PG for glue squeeze out.
Fine Woodworking, the movie. Your next story of an unlikely Hollywood hit comes from P.J. O'Rourke.
Can you really make a movie from nothing? We'll find out with the MGM production titled Chapter 11 Bankruptcy. MGM has got nothing. The once fabled Hollywood studio is broke. Gone with the wind, as insiders at the company that made Gone with the Wind say. Actually, MGM has less than nothing. It's $4 billion in debt. So, what do MGM studio executives say? Great high-concept premise. They're doing Chapter 11 as a reality show-type film with a script based on a story by top MGM creditor Carl Icahn. An ensemble cast is planned, all genuine lawyers, and MGM has a great marketing gimmick. Buy a movie ticket for Chapter 11 now, and whether the movie gets made or not, you could get up to 23% of your ticket price back in bankruptcy court.
MGM makes a movie from its own bankruptcy proceedings, and your last story of a movie based on an unlikely source comes from Amy Dickinson.
Lionsgate Studio has now given the green light to a movie version of the prenatal handbook, What to Expect When You're Expecting. The Manual for Pregnant Women, which tells them surprising and shocking facts like, during your pregnancy, you can expect to gain some weight. Do not panic. This is to be expected when you're expecting. Caitlin Schickel, spokeswoman for the studio, says, there's a lot of surprise in the movie. As the mommy's tummy gets big and round, the audience will wonder, what's in there? What's with all the barfing? What's going to happen next? Will something come shooting out of her, like in the movie Alien? And why do her friends keep giving her tiny little shoes as gifts? Shooting starts this fall.
All right. So, it's about a year from now, say, fall of 2011, and you decide to go to a movie, and you might see which of these. A movie based on the magazine Fine Woodworking, that's from Tom. A movie based on MGM's own bankruptcy proceedings, that's from P.J. O'Rourke. Or a movie based from the perennial best-selling baby manual, What to Expect When You're Expecting. Which of these is the real unexpected film adaptation?
I think any of these are possible, because it's Los Angeles.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to go with the Lionsgate film.
The Lionsgate film, which would be?
What to Expect.
So your choice is What to Expect When You're Expecting. That'll be a blockbuster. Exciting movie about women being nauseous. To find out the correct answer, we spoke to someone familiar with the true story.
When I heard that they were going to adapt What to Expect When You're Expecting, it actually hit me up. Those baby dramas are fertile ground for laughs and lots of slapstick.
That was Archana Ram, a writer for Entertainment Weekly, who received confirmation from Lionsgate that, yes, indeed, they are adapting the pregnancy manual, What to Expect When You're Expecting, for the wide screen. Congratulations, you got it right. Well done.
Thank you so much.
You earned a point for Amy. You have won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your home voicemail. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for playing.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Mark.
Having my baby. What a lovely way of saying how much you love me. Having my baby.
And now the game where people who do lots of amazing things come on our show to do one silly thing. We call it Not My Job. Bobby McFerrin is a 10-time Grammy Award-winning artist for his work in every musical genre. And yes, he is the man behind the number one hit, Don't Worry, Be Happy. He'll be performing music from his latest album, Vocabularies, next month at Lincoln Center. Bobby McFerrin, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Great to have you here.
Do I look okay? Is my hair, is everything all right?
You look good. You look great.
Thank you.
You look fine.
It's radio anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That's right.
You have got this, one of the things you're known for is in addition to being like a leading jazz vocalist, you have this amazing ability to make all kinds of sounds with your mouth, with your body. Have you?
Oh, really?
Yes, I've heard that. Have you always used this power for good?
Well, I try to, certainly, yeah. I enjoy what I do very, 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 very much.
Were you musically gifted as a child?
I grew up in a very musical family. Right. Very musical family. My father was the first African-American to sign a contract with the Metropolitan Opera in 1955.
Wow.
Yeah, so I grew up with Beethoven and Mozart and Count Basie.
Right. Those were your playmates?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did it bother you they were all dead? Mommy, Beethoven won't move.
You know, what's really funny is as I was a kid growing up, I couldn't sing. Singing at the dinner table wasn't allowed.
Really?
No.
In your
musical
family?
Very, very formal. Very, very formal in my upbringing. Very, very proper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that when you started making funny little noises?
Probably.
Yeah. Channeling, yeah.
Who brought that drum set to the table this time?
That's right.
Bobby? Yeah. So is this what you're like? You take you out for dinner and you'll just be making music all in the corner
all
night?
My kids are trying to get me to shut up. You know?
Really?
Because I embarrass them. I'm always singing. I love to sing, especially in restaurants.
Really? What sort of things? What sort of numbers you do in response?
When you get something on the menu that you really, really want,
right?
You know, you've got a taste for something. It's always a very celebratory kind of moment when there's something on the menu that you've been dying
to have. So here we are. We're in a restaurant.
You're looking, and you see something, and the waiter comes over. They says, "May I take your order?" And they say, "Oh, I'd like. Oh, I'm so in love with this food."
Does that ever happen at Denny's?
Or, just to sing a note out. Because it's such a joyful thing.
Sure. You know. Right. Have you? I don't suppose you've ever gone to IHOP and ordered a Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity. Because that would be good.
Wasn't that a puppet, Rudy Tooty? Wasn't there a cartoon
like
character?
Rudy Tooty, Kukla, Fran, and Ollie? Is that what you mean?
I think of
Howdy Doody.
Howdy Doody.
Howdy Doody.
Right,
Howdy Doody. Rudy Tooty, Howdy Doody.
Howdy Doody, Fresh
and Fruity. It's Howdy Doody time. It's Howdy Doody time.
I have a feeling this audience right now doesn't want me to say another word, actually. I think they just want you to go. You see what I mean?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, your panelists are with them, too. Yeah. So.
Stumped.
I'm stumped, man, because I basically am just going to talk until you start doing something again, and then I'm going to lay down. If I can just get you to go, then my job here is done. Okay. So you've done so many different things in music. Tell us how it all got started. Did you, form a band? Did you sing with your friends?
I've been a working musician since I was about 14.
Really? You were singing? You were playing?
I wasn't singing at the time. I was playing piano. I was a pianist until I was about 27.
Yeah.
I was convinced I was a pianist, but I always had a nagging suspicion in the back of my head that I wasn't. And
I have that same thought.
I was living in Salt Lake City at the time because I was working at the University of Utah dance department as one of their accompanists.
Right.
And I was walking home for lunch period. It was about noon. It was July 11th, 1977. See, I really remember this.
You do.
By the time I got to my house, I recognized that I was a singer. I called up the Hilton Hotel, and I got an audition for the very next day. I knew 5 songs. I sang, "You are the sunshine of my life." I sang that. I sang a tune by a group called Blind Faith. "Come down off your throne and leave your body alone." I sang that and 3 other pieces, and they hired me. Now, I only knew 5 songs.
Right.
He hired me. I had a month before my gig started, so I learned a song a day. I had about 35 songs when I started, and that's how it all began.
Right. Very cool.
You wrote that?
I wrote that.
That's great. That's really good.
You just open up your mouth. You open up your mouth and you go. That's it.
Yeah. I open up my mouth, other people go. But that's different talents, baby. Different talents.
Very, very good.
I know.
Oh, I know.
Well, we are utterly delighted to have you with us. And Bobby McFerrin, we have asked you here today to play a game we are calling...
Go Ahead. Worry.
Okay.
It's all right. So you sang famously, "Don't worry, be happy," and a certain percentage of the population said to hell with that and went back to being miserable.
Yeah.
We're going to ask you 3 questions about being unhappy. Get 2 right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice. On their voicemail or answering machine, whatever they got. Carl, who is musician Bobby McFerrin playing for?
Bobby is playing for Annie Erling of Chevy Chase, Maryland.
Annie Erling for Chevy Chase.
I'm guessing the answer is yes, but are you ready to play? You seem ready to go. Okay. Here's the first question. A recent survey of tweeted shows that people are most unhappy when, A, the moment they arrive at work, B, Thursday evenings, C, right after eating something they shouldn't have eaten.
None of these. What was it?
It was
eating something that they shouldn't have eaten.
When are the people the most unhappy? The moment they arrive at work, Thursday evenings, or right after eating something they shouldn't have eaten.
Thursday evenings, I guess.
You're right, Thursday evenings.
Isn't that when Seinfeld is on?
Apparently not anymore. The survey went over all these tweets, millions of them, and looked for certain unhappy keywords, and then looked for the timestamp and the location. And it turns out if you want to be unhappy, the place to be and the place to be, the time to be there, New York City, Thursday night.
How about that?
How about that?
Yeah.
You answered that so easily. Are you yourself sad on Thursday evenings?
I'm psychic.
Oh, okay. All right, next question. You're doing very well. If you're psychic, this will not be a problem.
Okay.
If you're dealing with a really unhappy person, according to one scientific study, what's something you could do to an unhappy person to make them even more unhappy? If you were so inclined.
Okay.
A, say the words, get over it. B, show them a happy picture. Or C, sing.
Sing.
Sing? You think singing would make an unhappy person even unhappier?
Yeah.
It was actually show them a happy picture.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Oh.
Can
I redo the test? You know?
No, well, we have another chance here.
Okay.
But
I have to do 2 out of 3?
You do. That's
and what does this person get?
This person gets Carl's voice in their home answering machine.
Oh, okay.
And the one thing... you want to take it up with Bobby, Carl? I mean... if you want to. No, according to a study in the journal Biological Psychiatry, for some reason, in very depressed people, seeing pictures of happy things made them feel worse. All right, this is exciting, because if you get this correct, we win. Here we go. Last one. Here we go. Let's say you're dealing with somebody, but you don't know if they're a happy or unhappy person. According to yet another scientific study, what might be a good clue that they're a generally unhappy person? A, they wear ties. B, they really like TV. Or C, they routinely send food back in restaurants.
Okay, well, I think it's TV, actually, because they probably spend, on the couch... hanging out. They don't want to get up or do anything, so that's probably what it is.
And it is that. Congratulations. That's right, the answer. Well done.
Thank you.
The University of Maryland study found that unhappy people watch more TV. That may not be surprising, but it might be that they really like it. So if you want to know who is watching Cougar Town, it's all the mopes. Carl, how did Bobby do on our show?
Well enough to win for Andy Erling of Chevy Chase, Maryland. He had 2 correct answers.
Well done.
Andy Erling.
Excellent. Excellent. But before I let you go, I got to ask, anything you want to sing and or for or with this audience?
For or with.
Okay.
It's been great to be here tonight. Great to be here tonight. Stop.
Bobby McFerrin, ladies and gentlemen. His newest album is Vocabularies. He'll be performing as part of the Jazz at Lincoln Center series at the Rose Theater on November 12th and 13th. Bobby McFerrin, thank you so much for joining us.
A little song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.
In just a minute, Carl runs up the steps of the Philadelphia Museum of Art like his favorite boxer, Rhymey Balboa. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Tom, in a tense debate between the Florida gubernatorial candidates, Democrat Alex Sink gained an edge in her opponent Rick Scott in a unique way. What did she do?
She put on Lady Gaga's meat dress. I have no idea. I thought I knew it.
She was
Prop 19.
Oh, like I said.
Can I have a hint?
I can have a hint. Well, she was told to keep her eyes on her own podium.
Oh, that's right. I did know this. She got a text from one of her staff.
Yeah, she cheated, basically,
The
answer. Use of notes during the live broadcast of the debate on CNN was explicitly banned. But during a commercial break, one of Sink's aides came over and showed her a message on a cell phone. Scott, her opponent, watched the whole thing, but he was unwilling to take the high road because it's just so lonely up there. So immediately tattled on her as soon as they came back in the air. Here's the irony. The aide had come over just to say to her, to whisper into her ear, Brett Favre said you need to see this text right away. Tom, NASA is now considering beginning preliminary talks about a manned mission to Mars. A lot of details to work out, but they have figured out they can save a lot of money if we send the astronauts there and then do what?
Leave them there.
Exactly right. It's an ambitious new plan. It's called the 100-Year Starship, and NASA is considering sending 4 astronauts to Mars permanently in the hopes that they can become self-sufficient there.
And now, Tom, didn't you say your kids are both astronauts for Halloween?
They are. Yeah. Yeah, they're not going.
Don't tell them that.
They're not
far.
Going.
No.
But hell, I'll go.
There are a number of reasons. Yeah, there are days.
There are days.
There are a lot of reasons to begin exploring Mars, chief among them that Earth is really starting to suck. But when we thought about the idea of like sending 4 people up there and never bringing them back is kind of sad until we realized it is the best concept ever for a sitcom.
Right.
It'll be called Men Are From Mars. Remember women?
And can we, who, can we nominate?
Can we pick, nominate? The, can we pick the 4 people? That's what
right.
I really want.
We want to nominate.
This could be a really good idea.
It could be a good idea.
This could be a good, very good idea.
Can you imagine the nominating conventions?
Really? Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, how do you pack for a trip like that? Like, oh, let's see, how much underwear do I need for the rest of my life?
Scotch.
And you have to take everything in those little 3-ounce.
That's terrible. PJ, a new study released this week finds that 95% of the products labeled green for their environmental impact are not, in fact, what?
Green
exactly
at all.
Exactly right, yes.
Yes, yes.
Terra Choice, a marketing company, looked at 5,000 consumer products and found that the vast majority of so-called environmentally friendly products were at best environmental frenemies.
Oh.
Some claims weren't backed up with facts. Some were too vague. Some were just confusing. China's claim that the lead in their children's toys gets great gas mileage, for example.
And it's from the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another egregious claim, BP said that they saved ducks from predators by making them slippery enough to avoid capture. PJ, a Connecticut law firm, has announced a new way it will be servicing its clients. How?
How are they going to service their clients? Connecticut law firm is calling. I need a hint here. This
well,
is
you'll just
way too vague.
All right. Please pull up the next window to get your plea agreement.
They have drive-through service?
The world's first drive-through law firm, yes.
Anybody who has ever dealt with a law firm has wanted to drive right through the middle of the office, you know?
The Kosian law firm in Connecticut was looking for a new office, and when a Kenny Rogers Roasters restaurant went out of business, they took it over. They kept the drive-through. The firm's paralegals man the window. They hand out documents. They answer client questions. They ask, do you want files with that? Maybe they'll do depositions through the speaker.
Yeah.
And when did you meet my client?
What?
And when did you meet my client?
Speak into the clown's mouth.
Yeah. And it's awful when you get stuck in line behind a guy waiting for an appeal.
Hey! Hey!
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924, or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, and check out our blog featuring this week's episode of, yes, Sandwich Monday. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, it's Kelly from Spokane, Washington.
Hey, how are things in Spokane?
Oh, not bad.
I'm glad to hear it. What do you do there?
I work for a blood bank that provides blood products to hospitals.
You don't have long, sharp canine teeth.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. Just had to ask.
How are you at the sight of blood?
Oh, it's fine if it's in a bag.
Yeah, no problem then.
Yeah.
Either in a bag or in a body. That's fine. Right. Either
exactly.
Or both. Kelly, welcome to the show. Carl Castle right now is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a winner. Ready to play?
I am.
Here's your first limerick.
The moon, we can see it quite well. Other aspects are harder to tell. How do you suppose dust gets in our nose? And how does the moon's surface...
smell.
Yes. Exactly. Have you ever wondered what the surface of the moon smells like?
No.
Of course not. You've all got things to do. But British artist Sue Cork wanted to know the answer, so she worked with an Apollo 16 astronaut to create a series of scratch and sniff prints of the moon. And in her version, it smells something like gunpowder. You can't smell on the moon. There's no air.
That's the weirdest thing. Crazy
or
talk.
Gravity. Doesn't gravity figure into smell?
Try to get your nose down there.
Does gravity figure into smell?
Or was I sick that week during science?
I think you were.
Yeah, really sick.
Here is your next limerick.
In the bathroom, I say, ain't this droll? Sure, the holder bar goes through this hole, but what is the shaper of my three-ply paper? There's no cardboard in my TP.
Roll.
Yes. Kimberly Clark, the big paper company, has introduced the world's first mass-produced tube-free toilet paper. We are told the rolls of so-called Scott's Natural tube-free toilet paper do not have perfectly round holes, but they do fit over your holder for, you know, dispensing.
My God, this is an advance. You know, I never thought that
yes,
I would live to see the day.
We assume that, among other things, this will revolutionize kindergarten art projects.
No kidding.
They'll now be made with cast iron pipe and rebar.
Well, there goes my kids' musical careers.
Yeah.
Right.
And there goes my kids' bong.
Here is your last limerick.
Amidst crunch, crunch, wah, wah, and beep, beep, the siesta event I did sweep. Despite the distractions, I slipped to inaction, and briefly, I managed to...
sleep.
Right. This year, Spain hosted the first international siesta competition in Madrid. The contest called on 360 of the world's best sleepers to outsleep each other. And after 9 days of fierce competition at a noisy, crowded shopping mall, Ecuadorian security worker Pedro Soria Lopez was crowned the winner. Lopez slept for 17 uninterrupted minutes and snored up to levels of 70 decibels. He took his trophy back to his day job regulating the U.S. housing market. Carl, how did Kelly do in our quiz?
Kelly had 3 correct answers, Peter. Kelly, I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done, Kelly. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for playing.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
So please turn on your magic beam. Mr. Sandman, bring us. Please, 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 Mr. Sandman, bring us a dream.
Now it is time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a 3-way tie, Peter. Tom has 3 points. Amy has 3 points. PJ has 3 points.
Wow.
Tension builds.
All right. I just wrote
it's like
down.
The whole right. Last 40 minutes were for nothing.
I know. We've randomly selected an order, so PJ, you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill in the blank. Because of an infection connected to surgery, California GOP Senate candidate blank was briefly admitted to the hospital.
Carly Fiona.
Right. A Virginia man was arrested Wednesday for plotting to plant bombs in subway stations in blank.
Washington.
Right. France's ban on burqas and troops in Afghanistan were all criticized in a new tape from blank broadcast on
Al Jazeera.
Yes. Cyclone, windpocalypse, and landicane were words coined this week to describe the blanks that hit the Midwest.
Windstorm.
Yes, and what may be a first, a wild alligator attempted to enter a Florida home by blanking.
Ringing the doorbell and saying, Avon lady.
I'm actually going to give it to you. The answer is knocking on the front door. Officials investigated whether swimmer's Fran Crippen's death during an open water race occurred because the water was too blank.
Warm.
Yeah. The government of New Zealand made a last-minute deal with Warner Brothers this week to ensure that blank would be filmed there.
Hobbit.
The Hobbit. Campaigning hit a new low in Staten Island this week.
Oh, no.
To psych out his opponent in a debate, Representative Mike McMahon blanked.
Warm. Lady Gaga's meat dress.
No. Tasty, though, that might have been. He sat his opponent's ex-wife in the front row.
Oh, come on.
That is really below the belt.
The opponent kept his cool during the debate, afterwards said, quote, "She looked as beautiful as the day I met her. It was a pleasure to see them both." He then excused himself to go have his jaw and fists surgically unclenched. Carl, how did PJ do in our quiz?
He had a great round,
he
Peter.
Did.
7 correct answers, 14 more points. Whoa. He now has 17 points, and PJ has the lead.
Formidable.
Right. Tom, you're up next. Fill in the blank. On Tuesday, Tariq Aziz, the former deputy prime minister of blank, was sentenced to death.
Iraq.
Right. In an interview with the Daily Telegraph newspaper, Karl Rove said blank lacked the gravitas for the Oval Office.
Sarah Palin.
Right. 3 students at Georgetown University were arrested after police found a suspected blank in their dorm room.
Terrorist.
No, a meth lab. Accepting the explanation that its Street View cars had gathered data accidentally, the FTC ended its investigation into blank.
Google
right.
Map.
A bomb squad was called to a government building in Florida to defuse what turned out to be a blank.
A can of peach yogurt.
A box full of kittens.
Oh, no!
Oh, tell me you haven't made that mistake.
Come on!
Murder charges were filed against a girl who was previously best known for having the blank for 5 weeks straight.
Hiccups.
Yes. Scientists in Myanmar have discovered a rare snub-nosed species of monkey that's easy to track in the jungle because blank.
Because it's the one with the snub nose.
No, because it sneezes uncontrollably when it rains. The sneezing is a problem for the monkeys because hunters can find them. In fact, the first snub-nosed monkey scientists found was actually one that was about to be served for dinner. To help save the monkeys, environmentalists are airlifting in boxes of Kleenex and lots of Zyrtec.
You think they'd evolved out of that particular trait.
But no. Carl, how did Tom do in our quiz?
Tom had 4 correct answers, 8 more points. He now has 11 points, but PJ still has the lead with 17.
All right.
But I had more fun.
You did. How many, then, does Amy need to win?
7 to tie, 8 to win outright.
It can't be done.
Let's see. Amy, this is for the game. Fill in the blank. Saying it shouldn't be an issue, Afghan President Hamid Karzai said he had received blanks from Iran and the U.S.
Money.
Yeah, bags of cash. On Monday, Omar Khadr, the youngest detainee at blank, pled guilty to terrorism charges.
Guantanamo Bay.
Okay. In an environmental double whammy, a tsunami hit and a volcano erupted in blank this week.
Indonesia.
Right. Famous for his psychic predictions in this year's World Cup, blank died in his sleep.
The octopus.
Paul, yes. Oh. Golfing champion Ian Poulter offended golf enthusiasts this week when he posted a video of himself blanking.
Wearing Chucks and plaid.
No, eating cereal from his Ryder cup. Saying she must have relied heavily on her editor, an Oxford University professor claims author blank had lousy spelling and grammar.
Jane Austen.
Right. After he was found unconscious and naked at a New York hotel, representatives for blank blamed an adverse allergic reaction.
Oh, it was Charlie Sheen.
Yes, he must be allergic to cocaine, I guess. To bypass...
And women.
To bypass a European Union ban on light bulbs of more than 60 watts, a German company is marketing higher wattage bulbs as blank.
60 times 2.
No, as heat balls. This winter, Germans can turn off their furnaces and snuggle up to a 75-watt heat ball. A German engineer determined that the contraband bulbs gave as much heat as they do light, and now we can plan a romantic dinner eaten by the light of a couple of heat balls. Carl, did Amy do well enough to win?
She needed at least 7 correct answers to tie, but she had just 6.
Oh.
So with 17 points, P.J. O'Rourke is this week's
impressive
champion.
Impressive, P.J.
Well done.
Woo. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what will be the big surprise coming out of Tuesday's elections. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the American Public Transportation Association, committed to creating jobs through public transit projects. More information at publictransportation.org. Linda Mood Bell Learning Center is offering diagnostic testing and instruction to improve reading and language comprehension at lindamoodbell.com. And LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Blythe Haga. Our web guru, Beth Novi. Special thanks to the crew at the Academy of Music. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Waltrover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is, as always, Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the big surprise out of next week's elections? Amy Dickinson.
Oh, the big surprise? Sharon Angle and Joy Behar really will see one another in hell.
PJ O'Rourke.
Well, it has to do with Christine O'Donnell and pentagrams and black candles and a virgin. And I don't have permission from the GOP to tell you anymore.
And Tom Baudette.
Joe Miller claims victory in Alaska's Senate race until Lisa Murkowski and Scott McAdams are discovered handcuffed in the trunk of Todd Palin's car.
Well, if any of those things happen next week, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks to Amy Dickinson, PJ O'Rourke, Tom Baudette. Thanks to everyone at WHYY Philadelphia. Thanks to our fabulous audience here at the Academy of Music. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR.